The date is unknown, but pre-COVID. The place is the local supermarket. A man was pushing a cart that contained, amongst other things, a screaming baby. And as the man proceeded along the aisles, he kept repeating softly, "Keep calm, George. Don't get excited, George. It'll be okay, George. Don't yell, George." And an older lady, watching with admiration, said to the man, "You are certainly to be commended for your patience in trying to quiet little George." And he looked at her with this look of exasperation and said, "Lady, I'm George." Today I want to take a look at the end of the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter. So if you have your Bibles, open them up. And we're going to seek the Lord and His Word today on the topic of parenting. And just as a little context of where we are in the Word, Jesus was born. Joseph and Mary took Him to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicate Him to the Heavenly Father. And it was there that a man named Simeon blessed the young man and the family. And they predicted that Mary would have her soul pierced. And they encountered a worshiping widow named Anna, who spoke about the Savior to anybody who would listen. And here's where we are today. And I want to draw you to some parenting principles that were there for Joseph and Mary and from there. And then we're going to take a look at five key factors about a child's growth. So let's read our passage for today from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and grace of God was upon him. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was with their company, they traveled on for a day. And then they began looking for him amongst their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Now there's a lot in this passage. And there's so many things that I could draw out. But I got to start with a short little story. When I was young, my parents and we always went to church. And one morning, I was in my bedroom, and I was tying my dress shoes so that I could be ready for church. and we were all piling into our vehicle, and we had friends over for the weekend, and they piled in our vehicle, and off in the van we went. Except I was still tying my shoes in my bedroom. I had just learned to tie my shoes. It took a while. Well, I went upstairs and found the door locked. And I unlocked the door and went out to the garage, and our van was gone. And I didn't know what to do. I was lost. I wasn't really lost. I was in my home, but I was lost. I was left behind. I didn't like that so much. They did eventually come back about 10 minutes later when they realized I wasn't one of the six kids in the back of the van. But yes, I was left behind. And I can't help but think of that story of Jesus going to the temple is just a little bit backwards. Jesus was in the temple. I was stuck at home. I remember that feeling, and I didn't like it at all. But this story is completely different. It's almost like I was the parent. Where's my child? I was looking for where are my parents. But there are four parenting principles in this passage, and the first is to set the standard. We see in verse 39 that Joseph and Mary, they were careful to do everything required by the law of the Lord. And then they returned to Galilee to their own home in Nazareth. And they didn't leave anything out. If God's word said it, they did it. And in verse 41, we see how their spiritual translated into action. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. As parents, we must live for the Lord before anything else. Living our lives in relationship with God 7 days a week, not just on a Sunday. We need to do it all the time. Our lives need to be immersed and oozing with Christ. And the trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem was about 80 miles. It would have taken them about a week to do, as they did with a caravan. And on the last leg of their journey, they would have been singing the songs of ascent from Psalm 120 through 134. And they would sing these songs as they ascended into Jerusalem. And once they arrived in Jerusalem, they would have purchased a lamb. They would have brought it to the temple, where it would have been sacrificed along with thousands of others. The blood would have been flowing freely on the pavement down the street towards the ditch. The lamb was then taken and prepared for a Passover meal. Joseph and Mary, they didn't yet grasp that their son Jesus would become the final lamb, offering his blood years later in full payment for their sins, for the sins of the world. They were connected to the church. They were involved. They did what they needed to do to raise their children to understand who God was. Studies show that if both mom and dad attend church, 74% of their children will also continue to attend. If only dad goes to church, that stat will drop to 66%. If only mom is plugged in, 39%. If neither attend, only 6% of kids get connected to Christ, and less than 1% will stay connected as they get older. As parents, we must set that standard. Our second principle is to make your faith a priority. Check out verse 42. That when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the feast. according to their custom. At 12, Jewish boys became sons of the law. And from that point on, they were considered responsible for their own faith. And this was a significant step. Parents, look for ways to expose our children to the things of God. And in Jewish homes, this was very clearly the responsibility of the parents. They didn't ship them off to kids' synagogue school for spiritual training, though they did utilize the synagogues as a partner. And you and I are not, if we're not living for the Lord ourselves and intentionally passing along our faith to our kids, then we are being careless. We are being careless in our parenting, and we are being careless in our relationship with our children. We must be intentional. We must make our faith a priority. And the third principle is this: let go so that they can grow. Now, I'm not suggesting that you don't keep a close eye on your children when you go out in crowds, but I do want to point out that Jesus was determined to spend time with his heavenly Father. And after the feast was over, the parents headed home with a group of people that they had caravaned together on their way back to Galilee. And they no doubt assumed that Jesus was in the group somewhere. Maybe Mary thought that he was with Joseph, and Joseph thought that he was with Jesus, because it wasn't uncommon for the men to travel together and the women to travel together in just one big group, just kind of separately. I think you know what I'm talking about. I remember times going for hikes with the Thiessen family. Ed and I are together, Jess and Mary Jo are together, and the kids are together, right? It's just kind of the way it works out. They're kind of running amongst the parents, and it's just, you just got to try to keep an eye on all of them, right? That's the scenario that I envisioned happening. And when they realized that Jesus was missing, they searched up and down for him, and they began to panic, and they went back to Jerusalem. And according to verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And in this, we see some very strong emotions on display. Those who heard Jesus were amazed. His parents were astounded. They were hurt because they had been anxiously looking for Jesus. What parent wouldn't have been? It took them a day to realize they were missing their child, and then it took them 3 days to find him. He's 12. 12. I would have been beside myself if I would have lost one of my kids for 4 days, not knowing where they were. Yeah, Jerusalem, we go there every year, but I mean, we went to Calgary every year as a family. If I would have lost my son in Calgary, even for a few hours, I would have been going crazy. I understand what they're going through. If you're a parent, you know the process of giving your child over to the Lord will be both confusing and crushing. But remember this: your child's relationship with the Lord is even more important than his or her relationship with you. When Jesus realizes that they were upset, he asks two questions. Two questions that are his first recorded words in all of Scripture. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? All right, I get it. He's Jesus. But honestly, if my kids would have said that to me, there would have been a different reaction than than Joseph and Mary. Unfortunately, they had absolutely no clue what he was talking about. I mean, think about it. For us, when we read the scriptures, just last chapter, earlier in the chapter, actually, he was just born. Now he's 12 years old. It's no time lapse in our mind. But for them, 12 years have passed. 12 years of this is my son. This is my son. Mary, you gave birth to this boy. He is your son. They had forgotten that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, that he is God's son. They made the mistake of forgetting who Jesus really was and who he belonged to. And I think often we forget that as well. Our children belong to the Lord. As our children get older, I am often finding myself wanting to hold on and stop them from taking on responsibility of their own. It's harder now that two of them are married. They don't live with me anymore. And I hardly see Solomon anymore, just due to his work. And as difficult as it is, we know that for them, they need us to let go in order for them to allow them to grow. And it's hard to do. But the fourth principle is to treasure the moments that you have with your kids. And this has been a lesson that I have really been needing to deal with over these last 2 years. As my kids have gotten married, as they've moved out, as they've moved on, they've gotten older. The scriptures tell us that Mary is trying to live in the moment. She not only doesn't want to miss anything, she's also trying to figure out who her son really is. It says, but his mother Mary treasured all of these things in her heart. This is actually the second time we see Mary making a moment. In verse 19, earlier in this chapter. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Parent, let's not be so eager for our kids to get out of the stage that they are in. Because once they are, they don't go back. They just don't go back. So let's be fully present. Let's be actively engaged. Let's be intentional in our efforts so that we can take full advantage of the teachable moments as we make memories for them and for us. Parents, no matter how challenging it is, it's our responsibility to help our children cut their way up the mountain to Christian maturity. But children, I know there's a couple of them in here. I'm not sure the youngest one is actually listening all that closely. But I see five challenges in this passage. Challenges that our children need to understand. The first is this: Jesus was obedient. I may be almost 50, but I still need to obey my parents. I need to obey my parents. We see in verse 51 that the preteen Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus not only was with his parents, he did what they said. And spending time with your parents is a good thing. You need to look to Jesus as your model. Children are to obey their parents. Actually, the word obey carries with it the idea of being submissive and respectful to an authority. The root means to hear and to heed. Parents, we do harm to our kids when we allow them to disobey without consequence. Kids, when you rebel against your parents' authority, you're actually going against God. And you're going to miss out on so many blessings. Luke 2:52 is a summary statement of a balanced life. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. If you develop each of these areas, you build a foundation, and you build it off of a foundation of obedience, you will be a balanced and fruit-bearing disciple of Christ. And that's what I want all of our children to do. I suppose I could say we're all children of somebody, right? So it all applies to us as well. So let me draw your attention to the word grew. The idea is active and intentional. It has the idea of one who kept cutting his way forward as through a forest or a jungle. It's used of a blacksmith who repeatedly hammers on that piece of steel, trying to draw it out longer and turning it into longer in length so it is the right and correct length for that tool that he is making. Growth takes effort. If you want to become a spiritually minded man or woman, you can't be a spiritual slacker. Because discipleship requires discipline. And spiritual growth demands strenuous activity. It's not automatic. Don't be sitting there waiting for some spectacular spiritual experience or expect instant spiritual maturity. It doesn't work that way. It can't. Next, we see that Jesus grew in wisdom. I need to make the wise choices. Well, it's important to develop your intellect. The Bible says that what we want to go after is wisdom. It's not enough to simply be educated and to have knowledge. We also need wisdom, which is the ability to use the knowledge that we have. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for wise is used to describe people who are adept at working with their hands. Those who have wisdom have the ability to face life honestly and to live it so that God's purposes are fulfilled in their lives. Wisdom is not the theoretical, but the practical. A wise person does not just say wise words. They are skillful at living life to its fullest. On the opposite of that, a fool is not just someone who is a couple bricks short of a load or one who's a few fries short of a happy meal. In Proverbs, the fool is the one who doesn't follow God's ways. He's the one who knows what to do, but instead does the opposite or just simply does nothing. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32 says that the complacency of fools will destroy them. And in the New Testament, the contrast is between the believer and the unbeliever, the saved and the lost, those who are in the light and those who walk in darkness. Jesus grew in stature. We need to take care of our bodies. Don't fool yourself by saying, I am growing in stature. The growth is just not vertical. Right? Don't fool yourself in saying that. Don't ever say, I'm wasting away. Yeah, I'm making a greater waste. I mean, we need to balance. We need a balance in our physical lives in order to grow in healthy ways. We also need to have that balance to grow spiritually in our lives. Because Jesus not only grew in stature, but he grew in favor with God. I can trust God no matter what. It's so important to be intentional about growing in your relationship with the Lord. One of the goals of Maranatha is to be a church that is here to help people grow spiritually. Get into the Word. Schedule time in your day to read the Word. On my sabbatical, I was able to read the entire Bible during those 3 months, and it was so amazing. There's so many things that you should never hear your pastor say, so many things I've forgotten. Parts of the Word that I haven't read in a while. Just, wow. There's so many things. And I am so looking forward to starting up Bible study this month, as well as Sunday school and having in-person time, right? Having a group gathered in person to study the Word of God is something that I have so dearly missed. Yeah, doing it online is one thing, but man, in person is so much better. The more time that you invest in God, the less time you will have to be distracted away from Him. But finally, Jesus also grew with men. I should treat others the way I want to be treated. This is a real challenge because all of us are born selfish and focused on just what's within our world, what we can see. We need to learn social graces, how to choose good friends, how to love the unlovely. Jesus was an absolute perfect example in every aspect of his growth. The Bible is silent of the 30-ish years that Jesus spent in Nazareth as a son of a carpenter. Don't really know much other than this one little story that we've heard today. It's just silent. But these years teach us the importance of preparation and training, the need for patience, the value of common work. They warn against temptation to jump from spiritual birth into public ministry. This single verse gives us a report about those silent years when Jesus was growing into an adult. He grew in wisdom mentally, in stature physically, in favor with God spiritually, and with man socially. In every area, the Lord Jesus Christ was growing into perfect manhood. Steve, can you go get the kids? The psalmist wrote these amazing words. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children a reward from Him. Like arrows at the hand of a warrior, sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full with them. These are the challenges that a parent faces in teaching their children to be godly men and women. It's not an easy task to raise a child, but we are called to be diligent in this area. And this morning, I'm going to call Bennett up. He's been talking already, but come on up. Bring your tribe. The Thiessen tribe this morning has asked that you would be dedicated this morning, and it is my honor to do so. Just give us a second while we kind of do a little rearranging here. Now, I'm trying to, I can't squeeze in, guys. We're trying to fit on the camera so those at home can see. All right. I'm hoping that you guys can see this.
Yep.
Ed and Mary Jo, do you understand that the Lord Jesus would be pleased to receive and to bless Bennett and to grant him the blessings of all the children of God? If so, please answer.
Yes, we do.
Do you profess faith in Christ?
Yes, we do.
Do you accept the responsibility to keep God's will and commandments, walking in the ways of our Lord?
Yes, we do.
Will you pray for this child and take care that he may learn to do all these things?
Yes, we will.
Will you use all diligence to see this child be raised and lead a godly and Christian life?
Yes, we will.
And congregation, I will ask you this question. Will you, the congregation, use all diligence to see that Ed and Mary Jo will lead godly lives in order that they can raise Bennett in the manner pleasing to God? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
What name have you given this child?
Bennett Alexander Quinton.
Hello, my friend. Bennett Alexander Quinton Thiessen, we dedicate you at the foot of the cross as a symbol that hereafter you will not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ and the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we bring thanks to you this morning for the life of Bennett. We thank you for this decision and the declaration made here by his parents, Ed and Mary Jo. We pray that you would receive him into your loving arms. May Bennett, by your mercy, grow in health of body and of mind, and serve you faithfully according to your will all the days of his life. I pray that you would give your wisdom, your patience, your strength to Ed and Mary Jo as they seek your will in raising Bennett. I pray that you would continue to bless them as they serve, and that these things would be passed on through example to Bennett. I pray that he would always know and remember that you are in control and seek your will in his life as he grows. Father, we ask that he would be a close companion to his brothers, Tyler, Jesse, Tristan, and Malcolm, and that they would encourage one another to grow closer to you. I pray that he would come to know you. I ask that he receive from you your grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the unity of the Holy Spirit be glory and honor forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Bennett Alexander Quinton Thiessen, you already have been, and may you always be, blessed one, as your name indicates. Dear child, may you be a mighty defender of your people and of your God. May your people be his people. You are the fifth son of this family and have added to the quiver of your father. In the journey of your life, may you grow in the knowledge and in relationship with God Almighty. One day may you receive Jesus Christ as your own Savior and become a blessed one of God all the remaining days of your life. Amen. Now I have words for you boys. Dear brothers, do your best to love this newest brother. May you model for him the grace and the peace of Jesus. And may you teach him many cool things.
Yes.
Yep.
And wolves.
All of our eyes will be watching over him.
That I snatch the pen if you lower him.
Oh, we'll try and avoid that today, okay? Head and Mary Jo, the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit guide you and give you wisdom and be with you forever. Amen. There you go.